This morning, I'd like to invite you to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verse 1. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verse 1. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verse 1 reads this way. It says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and become as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this morning. We do thank you again for the privilege of being able to gather together to open your word. And once again, Lord, being reminded that where two or three are gathered in your name, Lord, there are you in the midst. And so we thank you for your presence this morning. We pray, Lord, that you would open up our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit to hear from you and to worship you in spirit and in truth. May you be honored and glorified and our lives blessed. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is simply, "He is risen from the dead." That's the difference between every other religious leader. There's only one that rose from the dead. And we're not trying to put anybody down, but the thing that we're trying to do is proclaim the truth, right? Not everybody can't be the truth, amen? So there's one truth, and that comes from God himself, and that he loved the world. Think about all the different kinds of faiths that there are, and they want you to do something, right? You have to be a good person. You have to do this, and you have to do that, and you have to do the other. And you know what? We're not guaranteed that we can do any of those things, are we? But in the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he came to do the work that we could not do, and he said, "It's finished. All the work's been done. All we have to do is to receive him, the truth, for the payment of our sins." And then he gives us his righteousness, and then we have acceptance before the Lord, not on ourselves, but based upon the finished work of the perfect, sinless Son of God that died on Calvary's cross and paid for all of our sins. Now, here's a wonderful truth. Today, we live in a wonderful age. It's a crazy age, I'll grant it that, but it's a wonderful age because we have a lot of information right at our fingertips. In 2007, I had the privilege of going to Israel and seeing the Garden Tomb and seeing the hill that they call Golgotha that has really the face of a skull in the side of the mountain in the rocks there. And you can look at the skull and you can look down and you can see the tomb where the Lord was buried. And again, I say we live in a wonderful age because you can look that up on YouTube. A lot of people have made videos and you can actually see a lieutenant, I can't remember exactly what his rank was, but an officer in the British military back in the 1800s excavated that whole garden. They found a cistern that was over one of many cisterns, but they found one that was 40 foot deep. And based upon the garden and everything, they said this belonged to a very wealthy individual. And they did not even know, but the Bible tells us his name, Joseph of Arimathea. And we'll see that here in just a moment. But I would encourage you, if you want to build your faith, look it up and watch the video. A lot of people make them. It's called the Garden Tomb there, and they'll show you Golgotha, and you'll be able to see where the Lord was crucified. So a lot of archaeological finds concerning biblical times, and we praise the Lord because that verifies and brings validity to the truth of the Word of God. So as we consider this this morning, we want to look at some events that took place prior to the resurrection and, of course, events that took place after the resurrection. Three thoughts here this morning: the entombment of Jesus Christ, then the sepulcher sealed and guarded, and then the day of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So back up with me. You're right there in the Gospel of Matthew. Back up with me to chapter 27 and look at verse 57. Chapter 27, just one chapter prior, and verse 57, and we look at this entombment of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what it says here: "When the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who was also himself was Jesus' disciples. So he was a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, plainly tells us that. And notice what he did. It says he went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, notice this, sitting over against the sepulcher. If you see this tomb, you will see that this was perfect. It describes it perfectly. By the way, inside, there was a place for two people to be buried. This belonged, no doubt, to Joseph of Arimathea, but there was only one place that was hewn out to lay a body there. And there was another spot, but it was never hewn out. And no doubt the speculation is that Joseph said once the Lord was buried there, even though he rose again, he never touched it again. So there was never put another body in that sepulcher. So here are these women, here are these ladies, and also Joseph of Arimathea. But hold your place right here, and you don't have to turn there. I'll read it for you. But if you'd like to look, go over to the Gospel of John just for a moment. It gives us a little bit more of a different angle on this event that took place, the Gospel of John chapter 19, and then we're going to look at verse 38. John 19 verse 38 says this, "And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came, therefore, and took the body of Jesus, and therefore also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus, and wound it in linen clothes, and with spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now the place where," listen to this, now in the place where he was crucified, there was a what? There was a garden. This is the garden that we're talking about. There was a garden, and in the garden, a new sepulcher wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus. Therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulcher was nigh at hand. Did you see that? It was close to where they had crucified him. Back to the Gospel of Matthew, if you will. But that's important because that gives you some geography, right, of where everything was located, and it verifies again this account that's given to us here in the Gospels. And so we find that the Lord was entombed. Now, no doubt, listen, the disciples were dismayed. They didn't understand this, even though the Lord during his earthly ministry said, "I have to die. I have to die to pay for your sins, but I'm going to rise again." And he was telling them that, and that never sunk in. That never made any sense to them, even though he said it more than once to them, and yet they missed that. But praise the Lord for his patience, his kindness, and his love towards his people, that he brings us to this understanding. By the way, listen, there are two forces in the world, in the whole world. And by the way, God, the Bible says God loves the world, and he gave himself for the world, that no one should ever come into condemnation but have eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody will ever wind up in hell because of God. In fact, because of God, we have the atonement or the payment of our sins to have eternal life. But God has to bring that to our understanding. Listen, I didn't get saved till I was 24 years old, and I believed in God, but I didn't know him. And then I heard people talk about being born again and different things, you know, that people talk about. But it was God getting my attention through this fella that I was training at work that began to tell me about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the first thing I said to him was, "I'm not interested." It's the first thing I said to him. And he befriended me and made friends with me. And about a few days later, he said, "So tell me, what do you think life's all about?" And here's what I told him. Get a good education, get a good job, make lots of money, get a nice house, have a nice family. And then he kept saying, "And then what?" "Well, then I guess you retire." And then he would say, "And then what?" And he got me all the way to the end. And I said, "Well, I guess you just die then." And you know what he said? "And then what?" And I said, "What do you mean? What are you going to do after you die?" I never thought that far before. And he said, "You know, we will all stand before God Almighty and give an account for the life that he's given to us." And for the first time, my eyeballs were opened and I understood. Amen. And I thought, man, I'm not a bad person. I never murdered. But then he began to show me in the Bible that sin is, if you've lied before, you're a sinner. If you've taken something that didn't belong to you, no matter what age, you've stolen something. And on and on and on it goes. If you put anything before the Lord, you've got idols. If you looked upon a woman and lusted in your heart, the Bible says, Jesus said, you've committed adultery already. How about this one? Ready? If you've ever been angry at somebody in your heart, the Lord said, above the law, you've committed murder in your heart. Now, based upon what the Lord said, how will you stand? I said, not good. Not good. And that's why Jesus came, because he knew that there is none good, no, not one. All of us, right? Little babies. I've got four kids. I love every one of them. Amen? And we had to teach them to do right, not to do wrong. Wrong comes naturally, doesn't it? And you have to teach them. And that's why the Lord came. And by the way, listen, even if we never did anything wrong, because we were born from Adam and all the way on down, the seed of man is marred with sin. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ had to be born of the Holy Spirit, and Mary had to be a virgin and not know a man, because otherwise the Lord Jesus Christ would have been marred. Amen. But praise the Lord, he came from God, and that's why it was a miraculous birth, that he would be able to be the perfect, spotless, sinless Lamb of God that would pay for our eternal life. Now, here's the thing. We are born spiritually blind. We have our own ideas of what God's all about, and God has his truth, right? And here's what I thought. Well, you know, for many years I thought, well, God's just going to weigh my good and my bad out. I never killed anybody. I'm not that bad. But then when I look to the Word of God, my goodness, I think I've committed murder in my heart more than once. More than once. I've committed murder in my heart to people I didn't even know. Right? You ever get mad at somebody because they do something dumb? Right? Here's what's worse. How about us? Have we ever done something dumb? And somebody gotten mad at us. And so we're all in the same boat. And God, seeing that we could not help ourselves, so he came to pay the price that we could never pay. Amen. And so we praise the Lord for that. And this is the one who they placed their hope in. And now he's dead, and that does not compute in their heads. And so the Lord is making, listen, the Lord is the one that wants to bring us into the truth. He has to lead us, or we'll miss him every time. And so as we consider our text this morning, we find this entombment of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then notice what takes place here in verse 62 of Matthew 27. Now the next day that followed, the day of the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees came together unto Pilate. Now listen, the chief priests were the religious Jews of the day that had the Bible, the Old Testament Bible, that knew the truth and yet that had not received the truth. They were preaching and teaching the truth, and they crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ himself, while he was on earth, told them, he says, listen, you say you believe in the prophets and you believe in Moses and the Bible, the Word of God. But he says, I tell you, they are the ones that testify of me. And yet you're rejecting me. And so notice what happens here. They come the next day to Pilate in verse 62. Verse 63 says, saying, this is what they're saying to Pilate, the governor, sir, we remember that deceiver. That's what they think of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me ask you this. When you look at this, who's the deceiver? Well, let's consider who the deceiver is. Saying, sir, we remember that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again. Command therefore, because of what he said, verse 64, command therefore that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead, so that the last error shall be worse than the first. Now that is the craziest story I ever heard. Now I want you to fathom this. If I put my, and by the way, did some fishermen, Peter, James, and John, did some fishermen give up their fishing and follow after the Lord Jesus Christ? They believed in him. If he was a fraud and did not raise again, do you think I would help him one bit? Do you think Peter would help him say, I want to keep this lie going? I mean, I bought the lie. I wanted to, what? No way. Nobody would want to do that. And so yet these individuals, because listen, they're blind, spiritually speaking, they're in the world, they've conjured up this idea. They're so fearful of the truth, and they're so against it that they've devised this idea that they're going to seal the tomb and put a guard out there. And I want you to know something. Here's something crazy too. In the garden tomb, there is a trough. It's about this wide, and there's a place right in front of it where there'd be a big round stone, and right in front, right off to the side, there is still iron that is inside the side of the cave there where they would have sealed it with an iron spike and sealed it so it couldn't be opened. That's there. You can look it up and you'll see it. And that's amazing. So listen, all this is coming to pass. They did exactly that. And so notice what's happening here. He says, we want to make it sure. And notice verse 65, Pilate said unto them, ye have your watch, these men, go your way, make it as sure as you can. Do you know there isn't anything this whole world can do that will stop the Lord God Almighty? And listen, if we will seek him with a genuine heart and just simply say, Lord, I want you to show me your way, not what I think, I want you to show me your truth. I want you to show me the truth. You know God will honor that. God says he will honor those that honor him. So what did they do? Verse 66. So they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. They sealed the stone so it could not be opened. And there's still a big iron mark inside the stone till this day. You can see that. All right. So let's pick up in verse 1 of chapter 28, the day of the resurrection. So notice what happens. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Now listen, they're coming with spices to prepare the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. They continued doing their custom. And in the Gospel of Mark, the Bible tells us that the two ladies, as they were walking, they said, who's going to move away the stone? They knew there was a stone that was covering up the sepulcher. They did, and they were saying, who's going to... Follow this. It's early in the morning before daylight. They're going to go, and they're asking, who? As far as they know, no one's there. They definitely don't know that soldiers are there, or they. I don't know if they would have gone. But God was working in their hearts and minds to go anyway. Against the natural. Listen, God works beyond our thinking. Does he not? Amen. Has God ever blessed you and you would say, no way, how's this going to happen? And God does something that causes us to say, only the Lord can do that. I never would have dreamed in a million years. And look what the Lord has done. Isn't that amazing how God works? And so here are these women. They're going to do something good for the Lord, but God is going to bless them in seeking him. God is going to build and encourage their faith that he has risen. And so watch what happens here as we consider this. Again, they're coming to the sepulcher. It's in the Gospel of Mark. You can look at when they say, who's going to move away the stone there in chapter 16 of the book of Mark? But we're going to stay right here. Verse 2, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven. Now, if I remember correctly, this is the only account here that talks about this earthquake that took place. And look what happened here. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. So get fathom that. There's this angel, and notice what happens, and sat upon, his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and become as dead men. I'd say they were pretty afraid, wouldn't you? Listen, they were standing, I cannot even begin to imagine how people are going to feel, that the ones that reject the free gift of eternal life when they stand before God Almighty, how they're going to fear and quake. The Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue is going to confess that the Lord Jesus Christ is God. Amen? Amen. He is Lord. And boy, what a wonderful place to have that enlightenment on this side of eternity than to stand in shock like that. And so here they are, and they're shaking, and notice what happens here. The ladies show up, verse 5, and the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified." Now, did they come to see Jesus? Absolutely. But they came to see a Jesus that they did not know had risen again. They came to see a Jesus to pay respect to him and to further anoint the body for the continual burying. And they didn't know that the stone was blocked up, and they didn't know that there were soldiers that were there. So they get up on the scene, and here's this angel sitting on the stone, and there's a bunch of guys down there that are shaking in their boots, amen, sandals, whatever they were wearing. And here's the angel talking to them, and notice what he says. Verse 5, and the angel answered and said unto the woman, "Fear not, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified." Listen to this. "He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay," past tense. He's not there anymore. Come, I want you to see this. And by the way, listen, fathom this thought. Do you think they're believing what they're seeing? I do. They're seeing God's power. And when we're in the presence of the Lord, God confirms that. And they're watching the results of the presence of this angel of the Lord. And these soldiers are not there. They can't even move. Amen? They can't even move. The tomb's been opened. And again, they question in the Gospel of Mark, who's going to move the stone? Their obstacle had been removed to see the truth. Do you know God is the only one that can remove obstacles in our way so that we can see the truth as well? Amen. And as we consider this, I think these ladies are a little bit encouraged more so than they were the night before. Don't you think so? I mean, before they saw, remember, they were over by the sepulcher as Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus were burying the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And no doubt they were dismayed. But now they've got a brand new hope, don't they? They have some excitement that they did not have before. By the way, that is the same thing that the Lord brings into every one of our lives. As we draw near to him, he reveals more of his mercy and grace into our lives that brings more excitement into ours. And so here they are. And he says, I want you to know, by the way, that's the title of the message this morning. He is risen from the dead. Amen? He is risen from the dead. And notice verse 7 again, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. They were chosen to be the messengers of the best news during the Lord's earthly ministry. Amen? The best news, he is risen again. All right? And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And there's no doubt. Listen, this was confirmation. They knew that this was the angel of the Lord. Remember when the angels appeared in Luke chapter 2, if I'm not mistaken, when the Lord was born? Remember when the angels appeared? We're bringing you good tidings of great joy, right? And what happened? They were afraid. But then as they got conversing and watching and listening to what they were saying, you remember what happened after all the angels sang and they went back up into heaven? They said, "Let us go now and see this thing that has come to pass." They didn't even see it. But because it came from these angels, they knew it came to pass. And they went to go see the Lord. And did they see him? Absolutely they did. And they were a little bit excited, right? To say the least. They were a little bit excited. So, verse 8. And they departed casually. They departed leisurely. They departed how? Quickly from, you think they were excited? Yes. Amen. Hey, how about us? Are we excited about what God has given to us in eternal life? Amen. And so those, and they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great what? Joy, great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them. God planned that all along. Listen, because of their obedience, Jesus met them. Isn't that good? Jesus met them, saying, "All hail," and they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Now, in another gospel, when he first reveals himself, remember who Mary thought he was? She thought he was the gardener. So this sepulcher is in a garden, isn't it? Because she thought he was the gardener, and then when the Lord said Mary, she said, "Remember, Rabboni," which is saying master. Listen, the wonderful thing about the Word of God is it's true, and God will confirm that. And listen, I'll tell you. I pray for a lot of my friends that I've known since I was 6 years old. We grew up together, and they thought when I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, I had gone off the rails. Amen? I would never change a single thing other than the fact that they also would know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior as well. Never have made a mistake to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. So, verse 9, and as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "All hail," and they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then said Jesus, and by the way, that's only a work that the Lord, listen, when we meet with God, he brings us to worship. Amen. We have something to praise the Lord about. Very quickly, and then said Jesus unto them, he says, "Be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me." Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch, these are the soldiers now, listen to this. So some of the watch, not all of them, but some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all things that were done. That means this angel came. Listen, things aren't going so hot for you guys. This angel came, and remember that seal that we put on that stone? Man, there was such an earthquake, he just moved that, all things got moved out of sorts. Listen, when the angel came and descended, not only did he move the stone, but he moved us to fear. Amen? Amen? And so I want you to know what was done. And notice what happens here, because they're so honest. Notice what happens here. Verse 12, and when they were assembled with the elders, so now they tell some of the chief priests, now they're assembling with the elders, and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers. Did you get that? Large money. If someone's going to give you money, you might want some large money. It wasn't big in size. It was a lot. Amen? It was a lot of money. And so they gave him large money unto the soldiers. Verse 13, saying, this is what they want them, "Say ye to the soldiers, his disciples came by night and stole him away while he slept." You know what that is? A lie. We're going to pay you to lie. They're not bringing a blessing of the Lord into their lives. They're bringing condemnation. Both. The ones that paid the large money and the ones that received it to perpetuate that lie. And so what happens in verse 14? And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. Because they were the governor's soldiers. We will tell them what really happened to cover you guys, okay? So that you guys don't get in trouble. So what did the soldiers do? Oh, they said, "We can't do that. You've got to be me do that against the Lord." Listen, this is what happens when we can't see the Lord. What did they do? So they took the money. Amen. They took the money. Verse 15. Listen, if they never repented of that, and God is merciful, and they never repented, changed their mind, and came back to the Lord, they stand before the judgment of God. So they took the money, and they did as they were taught, and this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Did you get that? Until this day, same story. Listen, Jesus never rose from the dead is what they'll tell us. His disciples came and took him. Till this day, that lie is still being perpetuated. That's not the truth, though. And so, the Lord did rise again. And let me share one last thought with you here. Two quick stories here. Mahatma Gandhi, I don't know if you remember him. He was born in 1869 and died in 1948. And he was a Hindu. And he was the one, he was a very noble man. He did good for the country of India. But he was into Hinduism. You know what Hinduism teaches, that we're all part of the same, you know, we just keep repeating ourselves, right? And however you live, they call it karma. You heard that, probably, bad karma, right? You don't want bad karma. Well, the Bible calls it sowing and reaping. If you sow bad seed, you're gonna grow bad fruit. Amen? And so they said, well, if you don't live a good life, then when you come back, you might be a cockroach or something like that. Right? And get stepped on by some animal. Who knows what they think? But they think some crazy thoughts. And here's their belief. And by the way, everything but the truth believes this, that if you're just good enough, you'll be okay. But the Word of God says there is none good. No, not one. Not one. And so listen, here's what he said. Just 15 years before he died, he said, I must tell you in all humility, and if you looked at him, he was a humble man, that Hinduism, as I know it, entirely satisfies my soul, fills my whole being, that even the Sermon on the Mount can't compare. He looked into Christianity. And the sad testimony was that he ran around Christians that were not changed by the grace of God, and he also said this, if it were not for Christians, I would have become one. But I want you to know, it wasn't Christians that died for his sins. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, he said, I'm convinced in Hinduism. Now, just before his death, Gandhi wrote this. My days are numbered. I'm not likely to live very long. Perhaps a year or a little more. For the first time in 50 years, I find myself in the slough of despond. All about me is darkness. I'm praying for light. And then he died shortly after that. I pray he found the only light, the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't know that. But then also, this fellow, Ira Sankey, if you're familiar with him, he was D.L. Moody's song leader. If you look at the hymnals, you'll find a lot of his hymns that he wrote to the Lord. And before he went home to be with the Lord, Ira Sankey said this, I believe in him who said, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. This is his testimony. I believe in the Son of God with all my soul, might, mind, and strength, and I am therefore saved by the word of the one who cannot lie. Isn't that good? I have only a little longer of earthly darkness and then the sunshine of the Father's throne. So sure am I of meeting in heaven those of my friends who are following the Lamb that I send them this final message that God is love. Good night, and he went home to be with the Lord. Amen. Which testimony would you rather have? He died in August 13th, 1908, born in 1840, died in 1908. You know, that's our life, isn't it? The first date when we're born, our life is a little dash. And then the last date. And God says, for whosoever will can be saved. There's no reason to reject the wonderful gift of eternal life. God opens up our hearts and minds. The world cannot see it. Listen, all of us come out of the world. Everybody is born into the world. And must by the grace of God have our understanding opened up and by faith trust in the Son of God, and he's the one that takes us out of the world. We're in it, but we're not of it. Amen? Amen. And unless God opens up our understanding, we miss the greatest truth that brings salvation to our souls. This morning, I want you to know, the Lord says he's not willing that any should perish, but that how many should come to repentance? All. That we say, Lord, it's me. I need your eternal life. It's a gift of God. Amen? Already been paid for. He paid it all. And all he wants us to do is to receive it and to enjoy being a child of the King. Would you stand as we continue to celebrate the resurrection and the grace and the salvation that God has given to us? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne thanking you once again for the greatest gift that any human being can ever receive, and that is the gift that you have paid for of eternal life when you died on Calvary's cross, shed your blood, to give us, Lord, your righteousness and eternal life. Bless each one, Lord, that they might have that clear in their hearts and minds, that that's what they've done. And if not, Lord, may you speak to them as only you can, that they might know you before it's eternally too late. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.